الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا، إنه هو السميع البصير. وآتينا موسى الكتاب وجعلناه هدى لبني إسرائيل ألا تتخذوا من دوني وكيلا. ذرية من حملنا مع نوح، إنه كان عبدا شكورا. وقضينا إلى بني إسرائيل في الكتاب لتفسدن في الأرض مرتين ولتعلن علوا كبيرا. فإذا جاء وعد أولاهما بعثنا عليكم عبادا لنا أولي بأس شديد، فجاسوا خلال الديار، وكان وعدا مفعولا. ثم رددنا لكم الكرة عليهم وأمددناكم بأموال وبنين وجعلناكم أكثر نفيرا. إن أحسنتم لأنفسكم، وإن أسأتم فلها. فإذا جاء وعد الآخرة ليسوءوا وجوهكم وليدخلوا المسجد كما دخلوه أول مرة وليتبروا ما علوا تتبيرا. عسى ربكم أن يرحمكم، وإن عدتم عدنا، وجعلنا جهنم للكافرين حصيرا.
These are verses of the Quran Kareem. Allah Ta'ala has explained to us the history of mankind from the beginning of times, and in our understanding it will bring us to the history of the end of times. The journey of Mi'raj, which is normally understood as the journey going upwards, but before going upwards, it was a unique journey from Masjid al-Haram ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa. And in the entire ruku that Allah Tawarakala discussed, it was going to open up what is this Masjid al-Aqsa, and what is going to be the history of Masjid al-Aqsa, and the blood of Masjid al-Aqsa, the cries and the cheers of Masjid al-Aqsa. And in a unique manner, Allah Tawarakala was going to make promises in these verses, was going to explain happenings in these verses, was going to give basharat, glad tidings in these verses, was going to give unique warnings in these verses. There was an entire history of thousands of years that was going to come in one page of Quran. And when that person would think about Masjid al-Aqsa, whether he would visit it or the night of Mi'raj would come, then he would understand what a chapter was opened. And when you see what's happening in the land at the moment and you read these verses, then a person feels like putting his head down in sajda and saying, 1,400 years history was explained. And every part of it. So Allah Tabarakala starts that glory is to Allah. That Subhana Alladhi, glory to Allah, means for Allah nothing impossible. Nothing. To break barriers for Almighty Allah is one command. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from a land in which he had no power, Makkah Mukarramah, without any ability, travels into the land of Masjid al-Aqsa. There is no visa, there is no power, there is no conveyance. And from the land, it's the land to the heavens. In that there was an indication that the history of this world will revolve between Makkah Mukarrama, and when the Muslim Ummah will march back onto Masjid al-Aqsa, and they are going to march back. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the army will come, and they will move from the land of Khurasan, most likely which is now today called Afghanistan. And no army in the world will stop them until they will be the liberators of Masjid al-Aqsa. After that Masjid al-Aqsa, then the journey of the entire world will start to the heavens. Everyone's mi'raj one day will take place. Thereafter Allah Tabarakallah says, وَآتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ, that the history of this land starts with Nabi Adam alayhi salam setting foot in the world. At that time in the world there were two masjids of significance. Masjid al-Haram, Makkah Mukarrama, Masjid al-Aqsa. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is one unique man who stands up. And Allah Tabarakallah was going to bless his progeny and only his progeny. Before Ibrahim alayhi salam, the progeny of Sam. Nabi Nuh alayhi salam had three sons. Sam, Ham, Yafith. From Sam would come the Arab. And from Sam would come the Arabs of Iraq. One is the Arab of Arab, the lands of Arabia. One is the Arab of Iraq. From the Arab of Iraq stands up Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. From Ibrahim alayhi salam there's a split. One son is going to be called Ishaq. One will be called Ismail. From Ishaq alayhi salam will come the entire Banu Israel, the children of Israel. And from Ismail alayhi salam will come the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But it will all link up to one Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam will link up to Sam. In the progeny of Sam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, Almighty Allah put all khair and barakah. It was in this progeny. The history of mankind of deen was going to revolve around this family. The history of shaitani power, evil, was going to revolve around the family of what was known as Yafith. The people of Yafith would stay in the lands what today we will call Russia, Mongolia, China, Japan, Europe. Whether you go this way, whether you go that way. And then there would be an in-between group, the people of Ham. The people of Ham, in the word of the narrations, it comes Sudan, meaning the black people of the world. Sindh is mentioned, the Indian, the black, we perhaps fall in the in-between. So there's a Ham, he doesn't really pay any great significance in this. We like the in-between. You're watching a match. Then there is the Sam, and then there is Yafith. With these three sons, the whole world was going to populate, and they were going to move out into different directions. And then Allah Tabarakala will say, ذُرِّيَّةَ مَنْ حَمَلْنَا مَعَ نُوحٍ, O the progeny who we carried on the boat with Nuh alayhi salam, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Remember that your father Nuh alayhi salam was a very, very grateful servant of Allah. Meaning don't play games with Almighty Allah. But this world was going to have that game. From the three, however, wherever it was going to be referred to, it was the progeny of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. It would be the Banu Israel or it would be the Arabs. Masjid al-Aqsa was going to have a unique relationship with Banu Israel. Israel was a title of Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam. So you have Ibrahim alayhi salam, his beloved son Ishaq alayhi salam, his son Yaqub alayhi salam. His son will be Yusuf alayhi salam, the 12 brothers. That is why that progeny was called the golden progeny in the world. A Nabi, son of a Nabi, son of a Nabi, son of a Nabi. Yusuf, the son of Yaqub, the son of Ishaq, the son of Ibrahim. Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, his title was the servant of Allah. In Arabic, if you want to say servant of Allah, you will say Abdullah. In their language, most likely Hebrew, to say servant of Allah, you would say Israel. So there was an Israel. And his children would be called the Banu Israel. Thereafter started a history of the Banu Israel. They stayed in that land for many years. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam was thrown in a well. He was taken to the lands of Egypt. And with that, it came into Africa. So Africa had its chance in history. Yusuf alayhi salam reaches Egypt. Then he starts from the bottom, from the well he was, then he was in the prison, And then from the prison he rises until one day he sits on the throne of Egypt. When he sits on the throne of Egypt, he sends a message to his family. So the family will move over for the first time, the Banu Israel, meaning Yaqub alayhi salam and his entire family, with all their wives and their children. They will make a hijrat into Africa. They will come into the lands of Egypt. They will stay for many years. Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam is going to pass away. He says to Yusuf alayhi salam, what a lively life we had here. But I will only die in the land of the Anbiya alayhi salam. So if I pass away here also, I must be buried there. And Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam fulfills the wasiyat of his father. This is a different wasiyat compared to me and you dying. Remember, when me and you die, you must be buried wherever you die. There's no need for me to go back to my homeland, because my homeland most likely is not the home of the Anbiya. It's the home of my grandfather, perhaps, who knows what he was. Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam was a Nabi. A Nabi's body does not ever deteriorate, what you call disintegrate or rot. It remains as fresh as though he never died. So Yusuf alayhi salam will take an entire group. They will move from Africa into the lands of Sham. And Yaqub alayhi salam will be buried. And then they will return. Yusuf alayhi salam is passing away. He will make wasiyat that I also want to be buried in the lands of the Anbiya alayhi salam. But it's impossible. Who's going to take him? So Yusuf alayhi salam, wherever he was buried, was buried. Then would come the era of the Fir'aun. All of this we learned in madrasa somewhere along the line. If you want to see him, go to Egypt, you'll see him looking at you. The different Fir'auns, but one of them is definitely that one. So the era of the Fir'auns came. Then Nabi Musa alayhi salam came. It was a unique history. Then Musa alayhi salam was told, now it's the time to take my people out of this land. And we are going back into the lands of Sham. Now history was starting. As Musa alayhi salam is going, they come to a certain spot where he just can't get the road. At that time someone says to him that Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, when he had come to this land many years ago, had made wasiyat that when the children of Israel are leaving Africa back to the lands of Sham, they must not go without Yusuf alayhi salam. So he says, as long as you don't find him and take him, you are not going anywhere. Musa alayhi salam will make a i'lan. There's a search. They find a very old woman. She knows where he is buried. But she says, you will have to be ready to take me also. I'm also coming. So perhaps to take her, someone had to carry her, whatever it was, she pointed out the body. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam's body was found intact as it was. It was also taken back. This was a unique land, the land of Sham. It was the land of the Anbiya alayhi salam. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam leaves with the Banu Israel and they enter back into the lands of Egypt. Into the lands of Sham. When they enter into the lands of Sham, Sham is huge. And there is no cars, and there is no aeroplanes. It's a walking journey. As you walk and you carry on. But you know your maqsad, your target in the ending is that one unique spot which was selected after the Kaaba as the most unique spot in the world and which remained in that position second until the coming of Medina Munawwara. With Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid being built, Medina Munawwara then would attract that attention of Almighty Allah. So much of tajalli would fall that in the ending in the race, it would seem that Makkah Mukarrama would be regarded as the most unique city in the world. And next to it, although Medina Munawwara had attention for the shortest span in the history of mankind, but Medina Munawwara would rise so fast, that in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam already he would say, after Makkah Mukarrama is my city of Medina Munawwara. And he will say, and thereafter is Masjid al-Aqsa. And it's a unique thing for this ummah, all three of them was given to us. All three. When Musa alayhi salam was on his journey, he explained to the people, you are going to come. The land is not empty. After you had come out of the land to Africa, there are other people living there. Some of them will not be ready to give their land. So Almighty Allah has commanded that you will have to be ready to put up a fight for this land. A very small fight. It has already been lakratan for you. But this group that had come out from Fir'auni enslavement, they had such a nature of cowardice that they were ready to say to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, if Allah promised the land, Allah must give the land. So they said, we will sit here, you and your Allah go and fight. The word was so terrible that Almighty Allah was going to record it in Quran. فَذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا. You and your Rabb go and fight, we will sit here and watch. Allah Tabarakallah's anger fell on the Bani Israel. More than anger, it's that as long as there's cowardice within your heart, you are not fit for this land. This land will not accept you. During that time, for a period of 40 years, the Banu Israel wandered. They were trying to go closer to the land. It was called the Valley of Ti. Ti means you completely lost. You walk during the day, wherever they would reach at the end of the day. In the morning, they would find they at the same spot they started, as though the earth moved with them. If they moved in this direction, they would end in the same spot they started. If they moved in that direction, same spot. They were under the curse of Almighty Allah for cowardice, but in the end of the day, they were also the selected of Almighty Allah. They were the only group on the surface of the earth who said one Allah. So during the time in the valley of nowhere, ulama of tafsir have written that their clothing would grow according to the demands of their body. Because you got no tailors who's going to set up shop. You are walking every day. During that time, clouds would shade them. During that time, food was sent from the heaven, a heavenly food of man and salwa. The water would be given to them, a food would be given. Their clothes would be made according to the demand of the body. But cowardice is a thing that takes a generation to come out. When the next generation came, the first word they would say is, we can't live like this. We are ready to fight. That was all that was needed. We are ready to fight. And then the door opened up. We are ready to fight. At that time, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, at the beginning, in the Torah, وَآتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ, we had given Musa alayhi salam the book. وَجَعَلْنَاهُ هُدًى لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ, it was a guidance for the Banu Israel. أَلَّا تَتَّخِذُوا مِن دُونِي وَكِيلًا. But at the beginning it was said to them, that don't ever make the mistake, because you are the selected family. The family of Sam, whether it's the Arab what we call today, or whether it's the other from Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam. Today I don't know what we'll call them. If you want to, a very loose word will be Jew. But that won't be right, which we will explain later on. So we will just say the brother of Ismail alayhi salam, Ishaq. The progeny of Ishaq and the progeny of Ismail. This is the selected family in the world. Allah Tabarakala said to the one which was the progeny of Ishaq, don't make the mistake. Allah tattakhidhu min duni wakila. Don't ever make the mistake of taking as your superior someone besides Allah. While a sentence was going to be mentioned from the crux of the whole Torah, because when we will come to the end of the speech, we will show you that this was the very mistake they were going to make. It was going to be the small group now, this progeny, selected progeny, who had seen everything. They were going to make one mistake. They were going to take a group that does not even believe in their own book as their savior. And on the command of that group, they were going to go into the lands. And at the command of the group, they were going to enter into Jahannam. Allah tattakhidhu min duni wakila. That do not make the mistake one day that you leave Allah and you take another power just because you find He's giving you what you want. وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ. The Banu Israel were told, you are going to get this land. So Nabi Musa alayhi salam would pass away. Nabi Yusha alayhi salam would come. A war would take place. And slowly and surely they would start entering closer and closer. Until the time would come of Nabi Dawood alayhi salam. In school you would have learned Madrasa Dawood and David and Goliath, Dawood and Jalut. Quran would discuss that war in a unique manner. When Nabi Dawood alayhi salam destroys this mighty king with a throw of his pebble. On the fall of this king, that entire group which was known as Amalika, very strong, very evil. But when the command of Almighty Allah comes, and there is no power that can stand up against that command. Nabi Dawood alayhi salam was going to pick up a stone which said to him when he went past, he was a young boy, he said, oh Dawood, lift me and shoot me in the name of Allah. Dawud alayhi salam was not taken for the war because of his age. He was not one who you ever thought would manage to fight against the power. In Dawud alayhi salam's one shot was an indication of a time coming when Nabi Isa alayhi salam will also open up Masjid al-Aqsa. He will walk out and he will just look. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as far as his breath reaches, death will fall upon those who disbelieve in him. It will just be death. He said, and his breath will reach as far as his eye can see. We cannot believe something like that because we only understand in a bullet. But the power of the eye of Nabi Isa alayhi salam when he will come from the heaven will have such a miraculous jannati power that as you will look, you will just see rows and rows falling down to the ground. Nabi Dawud alayhi salam's one shot of that pebble which would hit the temple of that, or the forehead of that giant Jalut. Perhaps he had on armor, then it would go through the armor. Whatever happened, he fell in such a manner that made the entire army turn and start running. They never thought of fighting. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Nabi Isa alayhi salam will come, he will say to the people of the masjid, I can make a dua, there will be a zalzala, quake, earthquake. There will be no need for you to fight at all. The people of the masjid will say, after so many years of oppression at the hands of this, the only way we can satisfy our heart is to fight. When Nabi Isa alayhi salam will open doors, as that group ran the first, they will run again. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it will just be open running. He said, on that day, every stone, every tree, loudly will start proclaiming, O Muslim, behind me is a Yahudi. Will you come over and sort him out? They will not be ready to put up a fight, as how they in the beginning were not ready. So they ran. Nabi Dawud alayhi salam enters into that unique compound. This is the beginning of the golden era of the Banu Israel. They got the land. Dawud alayhi salam will want to start erecting the masjid, but Almighty Allah will explain and order him that leave it. He will make a wasiyat. His son will be Sulaiman alayhi salam. Sulaiman alayhi salam in the fourth year of his rule, he will start building the masjid in a manner that will last for 7 years. At the end of that 7 years in his life, the masjid is completed. There was a few last. That last never ever gets finished. That last, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam understood that if I have to fall down now, the jinnat who are building will not build. So he makes a dua to Almighty Allah that I will build an area where I can overlook the whole thing. It will be covered in front of it glass, and I will stand with my stick. When night will come, it will become dark. In the morning, they will see me looking. The jinn would never dare come close to Sulaiman alayhi salam. On the looking of understanding I am looking, they will continue building and building and building. So the jinnat continued in that service for 1 year. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, after his passing away, remained standing for 1 year. For 1 year, the jinn continued building and building. Allah Tabarakala made it that you get the insect that eats wood. Perhaps we will call it a termite today, whatever it was. That would start eating at the staff of Sulaiman alayhi salam slowly until a time came where the staff becomes weak and Sulaiman alayhi salam will just fall. When he fell, Allah Tabarakala says, at that time, the jinn saw, hey, he's dead. So they stopped. Because now no one was going to make them build after this. Quran mentioned, at that time the world understood that had the jinn the knowledge of the unseen, 1 year ago they would have stopped building. Had the jinn the knowledge of the unseen, تَبَيَّنَتِ الْجِنُّ أَلَّوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ الْغَيْبِ. The jinn themselves understood that had they known the knowledge of the unseen, مَا لَبِثُوا فِي الْعَذَابِ الْمُهِيمِ, they would have not continued like slaves for man for another 1 year. How they knew 1 year? Because they calculated after that this insect, it takes so long to eat through this amount of wood. In that's the only way they understood that most likely it was 1 year. In that one verse of Quran was a message to every person, to every amil, to every jinn, and to every client of an amil, that there is nothing wrong with going for ilaj purposes to an amil, and there is nothing wrong with being an amil, and there is nothing wrong for charging for your amaliyat. Rather, you want to make a business deal. If a patient comes to you, be a normal doctor. Have it written there, I charge 20 rand by the hour, 200 rand by the hour, 2000 rand by the hour. But say your price at the beginning and your deal is correct. But if you say give whatever you want, then after that thing is completed and he puts one sweet in your hand and suddenly you show him big eyes, then you spoilt your entire transaction. If you ever go to an army, let the price be fixed. Then there is no problem. He can charge. The only poor person who can't charge is people like us. It's just written in our rosy. We can't charge for anything. But the amil can charge. It's a top game. You can make a lot of money, but charge. Give a price. The second, when the amil starts curing you, he must do the work of a doctor. No doctor ever understands I have the knowledge of the unseen. Because the amil works with the jinn, and because he's jinn most of the time, he's a very pious jinn. That jinn could be saying, I'm from the era of Sulaiman alayhi salam. He can even describe to you the masjid at that time. But the unique thing of the jinn is, even if today I meet a jinn from the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says to me, I will narrate a hadith from that Mubarak era, I will be so happy, and I might kiss the head of the jinn if you can manage to kiss his head. I might even write the ahadith he narrates to me. But that book of ahadith, I will take it and put it in one corner of the library which no one will ever go to. Because it will be written ahadith narrated from a jinn. The word of a jinn, even if he claims to be a sahabi jinn, the word of the jinn is regarded as zero. But that amil, because the jinns are saying to him, let me tell you from Adam alayhi salam's time stories. And every jinn he knows from Adam alayhi salam. And he will start, when you start talking to a jinn, it's like you're talking to a man who got depression. The man who got depression, his stories make everyone depressed. It don't end. The jinn is like, the day you give it shan, it will never stop. But the unique thing of the jinn, it got a habit, what is called to add masala. It will look for that opportunity, one sentence, one sentence. So it will tell you what happened. It will tell you when you went to this land was the first time you got the headache. When you came here, it was the second time. Then you got a pain on the side. The wife will say, it's true. Everything is true. And he just looks when he got your trust. The jinn's nature is such that the day he got the trust, he will just put in one sentence. When I believed everything of him and everything was right, how can one sentence be wrong? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you cannot trust the word of the jinn. On the day of Qiyamah, if Allah tabarakallah says to you that I heard that you had accused so and so people of black magic, did you know black magic is akin to kufr? It's a major sin in Islam. But did you know to accuse someone of a sin is also major in Islam? So on what basis did you level the accusation? On that day, if you say the jinn, say, what jinn you talking about? From day one you were told the word of the jinn is zero. You will not be able to put the story on his head. You will have to carry the burden on your head. On that day, تَبَيَّنَتِ الْجِنْ, the jinn understood. أَلَّوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ الْغَيْبِ, had they knew the unseen, they would not have continued building Al-Aqsa for another 1 year. They only pulling stories. So this jinn has to ask that jinn has to ask the other jinn, he has to ask the other, you just need one liar in the clique. And suddenly the mother-in-law is accused. That's like a target amongst the jinn, they even talk. When someone comes to you, it's either the mother-in-law or sister-in-law. Start with that. Then if the man say, but she's dead, he say, oh, okay, sorry, I made a mistake, it's the other in-law. It will start. But what's the purpose of the jinn? they can never see unity in life. And when this jinn story starts in a family, it can corrupt the entire family. Corrupt. Loudly you say to the jinn, get lost out of my life. We have been blessed with Quran. There is no jinn for the, land for the jinn to enter into my kitchen, into my bedroom. But the man who starts showing awe, then the jinn enjoys. Then you will see your mirrors shaking. You will see your fans moving. You will see buckets from the kitchen coming into the bedroom. Why? Because you gave it that awe. But if you just stand up and you say, get out! Finish, it's gone. Nothing will move after that. He just waits. Mufti Rashid Ludhiani Rahimullah. One person came in front of him and he went and suddenly, how they'll talk like, I am the jinn. He gave it one smack. Give the man a smack, not the jinn. What a smack he gave him, so the person just walked out. And finished. He never knew about it. So he writes that a while after that someone phoned him and he said, my brother is going through a very heavy problem. Some jinn has grabbed him. So Mufti Rashid was a very strict and a very, like, scary and a... So loudly he said that, you want me to come to the house? He just said that, and that boy started getting calm on the other side. And then one jinn said that the slap of this man is known in the world of the jinn. We go in. His slap is known. But you need to have a slap like that. But this is that world. One scream and Lord can go. Show your bravery and you will see the jinn run. Show your cowardice and you will fall flat. But at that time Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam now put up the masjid. The golden era of Masjid al-Aqsa, to describe how the masjid was. One great alim, Ahmad Khalifa, most likely, he wrote a kitab called Dalilu Ulay al-Qiblatain, a map for the first Qibla of the world. So he explains that it seems, or I fear, that a time will come that people in the world will start thinking the front part of what is called Al-Aqsa is Masjid al-Aqsa. So to understand that, you really need a map. But we all know what is called the Green Dome. So put the Green Dome in the middle. And if you go on one end, you will find a masjid. So normally there was a time in history where everyone called the Green Dome Masjid al-Aqsa. Then there was a time in history some people said, no, this is not Masjid al-Aqsa, that is Masjid al-Aqsa. So on that he wrote that both are confused. He said, rather Masjid al-Aqsa is this entire compound. It is a compound that includes within it about 6 masajid. But from the 6 masajid, the 2 main masjids is the dome of the rock, which is in the center, and what was once upon a time called the Marwani Masjid, which is on the one side. This entire thing was Masjid al-Aqsa. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam put up a masjid which was the most magnificent in his era in the world, because it was the only masjid that the jinnat, like slaves, had to build. They were not happy at all of the building, but they built it. How big and how huge that masjid was, we will never understand. And we can't really believe everything in history. But they have written, and it's possible because the jinn were building, they have written that just where the rock is, on top of the rock, in honor of the rock, Sulaiman alayhi salam put up a minara. And they write the minara went 14 miles up in the sky. I don't know how. But the jinnat can put up something. You call it a skyscraper today, whatever. And they write in the shade of the thing, the people who are living about 10 miles away, they would enjoy the shade of that one line. So they would enjoy shade, they would enjoy shade. But that comes in the books, whether it was ever, we will never know. Sulaiman alayhi salam, after passing away, his empire will split. Immediately it split. Because there were people in the empire who were waiting for his death. Where there were some who were thrilled with the golden era, there were some that were not thrilled at all. They were called shaitani elements, they were always there. They only just wait for the time to attack. Amazing, when the split took place, what name they were going to give to the land that split. So the one that split away to the north, they had to choose a name. History repeats itself, they gave it the name Israel. But today we saw the state of Israel, 1948. At that time, the state that split from Sulaiman alayhi salam, it took the name Israel. In Israel, paganism spread like anything. And then from Israel they started affecting the other state, which was the state of good. And slowly and surely, evil and corruption, filth and dirt, bribery, usury, whatever was haram started becoming halal in the Mubarak vicinity of what was called Al-Aqsa. When Nabi Musa alayhi salam told the people there was no masjid, there was no Sulaiman alayhi salam, there was no Dawood alayhi salam, they were not even there. But when the Torah came to Musa alayhi salam, the first thing of the Torah crux was that, O progeny of Ishaq, don't ever take anyone but Allah as your guide, as your protector, which you will explain at the end. The second was, وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ. We had told the Banu Israel in the Torah, لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ, that in this blessed land, which is the land of piety, for me and you it's Makkah Mukarramah. So in the land of your Makkah Mukarramah, you will cause corruption. This لَتُفْسِدُنَّ, with emphasis at the ending, means you will cause the worst types of corruption in the most blessed of lands. It's like not me and you will say, you will start watching movies next to the Kaaba. You will start acts of prostitution perhaps. Gambling and usury was taking place in what they called Masjid al-Aqsa. The bribery was taking place on the table in Masjid al-Aqsa. Whatever was haram, Allah Tabarakallah said, the worst of acts you will do it in the land. وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا, and there will be two times in your life where you will stand up as the most oppressive of people that came in the world. This word ulu was used for Fir'aun, that when Fir'aun oppressed you, إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَىٰ فِي الْأَرْضِ, remember how Fir'aun oppressed you, how he slaughtered you, how he killed you, how he loved to see your blood. Said, amazing, a time will come where you will do the same thing to others in the land. A time came at that time, forget killing people around. This group became so evil that they were ready to slaughter Anbiya alayhimus salam. And they slaughtered. Nabi Isa alayhi salam was the only one that was saved. Otherwise, Nabi after Nabi, Nabi after Nabi, in some way or the other to slit the throat of a Nabi, for them was a game. وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا, you will behave two times with an attitude of untouchable. I can do what I want and no one in the world, no one in the heavens dare tell me what to do. The world is mine. Two times. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ أُولَاهُمَا, in the Torah it was promised, the first time you will do it, بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ, we will send upon you a tyrant. This man, this tyrant, scholars have written, he took the name, in English they call it Nabachad Nazar, in Arabic they call it Bukht Nasr. In the Bible he's famous as the worst tyrant that the world had seen of the past. He came from the land of Iraq, Babylon. The land of Sham was very far for Iraq. But in his hatred for that one spot of religion, that was the only religion in the world. In his hatred for that one spot, he would make a journey. They say three times he made the journey to ensure that nothing remains of that land. The historians who have written explain that when this Bukht Nasr finished with Masjid al-Aqsa and the people of Masjid al-Aqsa, so the wording they wrote is, it does not seem in the history of mankind the world had seen a man with such a heart like this, that he was ready to herd those that were left alive like lost sheep all the way back to the land of Iraq. On the journey as they moved, thousands would pass away. There would be mothers who would just fall. There would be children who would just die. Just carry on, just carry on. One person slogging, one person slogging. The mother will say, I can't, just carry on. It was going to give a picture of what we call Masjid al-Aqsa today. When Israel came up and it said to them, get out. And as they started moving, a mother said, where must I go? Just get. Get. But it was their history that they were like taking a revenge for. At that time when Bukht Nasr came, that was the scene of Masjid al-Aqsa. Now there was no Masjid al-Aqsa left. There was no Torah left. It was a dream. before he came, however, the Anbiya of the time. Up till today in the Bible it will be found. Two Anbiya of the time mentioned to them before he came, that Allah's divine punishment is coming. But at the same time they would say, and after the punishment, help is also coming. The third Nabi was Daniel alayhi salam. He was taken as a prisoner. So in the land of Iraq, he would say to them that the help of Allah is around the corner. Historians write that Allah Tabarakala from out of nowhere, in the land of Iran, created a man by the name of Cyrus. They would call him Khusro. Mawlana Hifzur Rahman Siharwi, a great scholar of Islam, he wrote, most likely this was the man Quran referred to as Zulqarnain, Cyrus. From out of nowhere he rose. The kingdom of Babylon was the most powerful kingdom of the time. Untouchable, you can't break. You can call it Russia, you can call it America. From nowhere he rose. And he went through the lands. And Allah Tabarakala did not allow any. Daniel alayhi salam's words was a ram. I have seen in my dream a ram. A ram is normally a tame goat, sheep. He says, but the ram will have two horns. For which reason, perhaps he was the man called Zulqarnain. He says, this ram, when it will move in the world, no power on earth will manage to stop it. As the Cyrus rose, from nowhere he rose. This man was an indication. And the time that he came, it was about 70 years after Aqsa fell to the ground. 70 years. A Nabi of the time also passed by Aqsa at that time, and he saw no Aqsa. And he also said, oh Allah, how will you ever manage to bring life back to Al-Aqsa? It's dead. Quran mentions, we said to that person, die. And there he fell down dead. Allah Tabarakala says, فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ مِئَةَ عَامٍ. He remained in his state of death for 100 years. 100. On 100 we told him stand. When he stood, ulama of tafsir said he looked around. Like a dream, the whole Masjid al-Aqsa was up again. That was the first time Aqsa fell. And he gave a message in Quran, I fall for 100 years. The second time Masjid al-Aqsa fell was in the era of Islam, when the Crusades took it. Masjid al-Aqsa fell, it fell also for just under 100 years. At that time Salahuddin al-Ayyubi rose from nowhere. The Christians had four major kingdoms established in al-Aqsa. It wasn't as, today is not as bad as it was at that time. At that time in al-Aqsa there was no masjid for sajda. When Salahuddin al-Ayyubi took over, his minister, his judge wrote to him that my head is still in sajda, because I am thinking after 100 years the masjids of the land of Sham will see sajda again today. There was no sajda. At that time no one thought it possible. There was a Fatimi Shia empire on one side. There was the Roman Christian empire on the other side. The Muslim was all divided into groups. To think that the Ummah will ever stand and take Aqsa, impossible. But before 100 years, Masjid al-Aqsa said, come. I will not stay in the hand of dirt for more than 100 years. Twice it happened in history. So this Bukhti Nasr came, he brought the Masjid to the ground. Cyrus was going to rise. Within 70 years, revolution started. And Allah Tabarakala brought them all back to Masjid al-Aqsa. When they came back to Masjid al-Aqsa, they could not build a Masjid like Sulaiman alayhi salam. But they would put up something with the help of Cyrus. It was something much smaller, but at least there was deen. However, they knew it was in the Torah, because now the empire of Sulaiman alayhi salam was gone. But in the Torah, the promise was given. ثُمَّ رَدَتْنَا لَكُمُ الْكَرَّةَ عَلَيْهِمْ. That I promise you one day I'll bring you back to this land as the dominant power on earth. It was in their book. Every Nabi that came would tell them about it. It was not how Cyrus brought them, because Cyrus just brought them back to the land. But they were under the rule of either the Greek, or later on the Roman, or somebody else. It was in their book, a messenger is coming. A messenger of the sword. A messenger whose religion will spread in the entire world. They had so many signs of that messenger, which would later on be called Ahmad in the books. Up till today, if you look with the eye of investigation, up till today, you will find the word Ahmad in the Bible. you will find the word Muhammad up till today in the Bible. Up till today you will find mention of the Kaaba in the Bible. Up till today you will find mention of Zamzam in the Bible. So much they tried to change, but still they were unable to hit every. At that time what it must have been, the signs. That Quran says when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, they recognized him more better than you recognize your own son also. What it meant, they recognized him, that this is the man who will bring back the era for us of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. But now look at this promise now. Allah tabarak ta'ala said, thumma. Thumma means after a great period of time. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, his first sign was, he said, after my death you will conquer Masjid al-Aqsa. It was a dream. Between Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the fall of Al-Aqsa, there was only one time in history that the Jews looked up and they looked at their books again and they said, is perhaps this man who was promised in the Bible? And when they looked a second time, they said, no, it is Muhammad, the man of Medina Munawwara. And that is why they went to live in the lands of Yathrib. Which man made them look up? There was a man by the name of Constantine. For which reason Constantinople later on took his name. This was a pagan worshipper, Constantine. But in the Christian world, he is regarded as their savior. Something made him accept Christianity, something. See that word, something. That same thing which made today what we call Ashkenazi Jew accept Judaism. In the world of the Jewish world, you get two. One, they call it Ashkenazi, what we will call European Jew. European Jew is not at all from Sam, it is from Yafith. Yafith, which came in the narration, in this progeny, Allah put no good whatsoever. European Ashkenazi Jew is from that progeny. They themselves will say, our land is the lands of Russia, Mongolia, China. The lands this way and the lands that way going into Europe. The land of Yafith. They had absolutely nothing to do with the religion of Sam, with the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, nothing to do with the Torah. But something made them become Jews. That same thing made Constantine become Christian. Pagan. When he accepted Christianity, within a few years of his rule, he changed the entire Christianity. Like how the Ashkenazi Jew changed the entire Jewish faith. Now his mother Halina, which was a bigger shaitan than him, she will now make her journey to the land of Masjid al-Aqsa. Before her journey, command is already given. In Aqsa, there's a place called the Rock. The Rock is the most significant part of Masjid al-Aqsa. It is something that got a unique pull of divine grace. Satanists can never see that rock. How true it is, but the books of history write that three attempts were made to build on top of that rock a temple. They put up a temple to put their idol in. Masjid al-Aqsa has a couple of names. One name we know as Jerusalem, from the word Shullam. Shullam means the city of peace. One is the word Zion. Zion means a fort. One is the word Elia. But the famous names that we know is Al-Aqsa, the masjid, which is very far from Makkah Mukarrama. The second is Maqdis and Muqaddas. Maqdis means that masjid which will clean you of your sins. Because when Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam built this masjid, he made three du'as. The third dua is, O Allah, whoever will come to this masjid with the intention of performing salah, no other purpose, let him not leave this masjid except that you forgive all of his sins. It became Masjid al-Baytul Maqdis, the house that will clean you. Baytul Muqaddas, the house that has been kept clean from idols. They put up a temple and they brought idols in. The books of history mention that night when they celebrated, that whole temple fell. Whoever was in died. They put up a temple a second time, they put up the temple the third time. On the third fall of the temple, this shaitani woman Halina comes. And she says to the people, and she's understood as the authority of the Christian faith, like how today's Pope is understood. She says to the people that Jesus, the place where he was buried is just there in front, which was out of Masjid al-Aqsa, which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam later on will call the Valley of Jahannam. Up till today you go, you ask them, where's the valley of Jahannam? They will point it out. Wadi-e-Jahannam. She established a church there which was called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, whatever she calls it. She said, this is the place where Jesus was buried. Thereafter, another great leader of theirs, or some leader came and said, or she said, someone said, that actually Aqsa itself is angry with the people. So Aqsa has moved over to that spot. Because of which, believing in her and her soldiers, they broke down whatever was put up of Al-Aqsa. And it was now put for the church which was in the valley of Jahannam. The entire Aqsa was now going to move. And in her hatred for the spot of the rock, she couldn't stand it. A Satanist can never see divine power. She made a command that in the European world, after a woman is finished with that cloth which she uses to wipe her dirt during her monthlies, she must not throw that cloth away. It must be put in a box, and with ships it was brought to the land of Sham. There were soldiers who would bring it all the way to Al-Aqsa. That filthiest of cloths would be put over the rock, and it was declared the public dump site for the world. That was what that rock became for years and years. They say for about 300 years perhaps, the spot of the rock remained hidden from the entire world. When Nabi Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu entered as a conqueror of Masjid al-Aqsa, the first thing he went looking for is, where is the spot of the rock? There was a man of the books of the past, Ka'b Ahbar, they had everything in the books. With the book he could draw out a map, and he could bring him, and it said, it's somewhere here. It comes in the book. Umar radiallahu anhu said to Sahaba radiallahu anhu, start digging. It was filled with dirt of centuries. But when they found the rock, how it was today, it was never. From the time of the breaking of the masjid, no one in the world gave honor to Masjid al-Aqsa except this ummah. Pagans tried to do their pagan worship, Aqsa never accepted. It preferred to become a dump site to the world, but Aqsa said, I will not accept idol worship on top of my rock. Throw your dirt on it, but I will not accept idol worship. It was called for some reason, Al-Muqaddas. That rock never accepted it. Now Aqsa was built. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَا لَكُمُ الْقَرَّةِ The promise was made in the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are 10 Jews in Medina Munawwara. They all know I'm the truth. If they believe in me, there'll not be a single Jew in the land of Medina who will disbelieve. They'll all accept because I'm in their book. But from the 10, only of 2 or 3 believed. And those 2 or 3 were unique leaders of the Jews. Abdullah bin Salam was of the direct progeny of Yusuf alayhi salam. When he said, this is the one we are waiting for, the other Jews said, we don't want to have anything to do with you. Get lost. So they tried hard, they changed the scriptures, they made lies. But during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the next 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, Jew and Christian, Jew and Christian, Jew and Christian started entering into Islam. And the Banu Israel who were promised at the beginning, we will one day take you back to Aqsa, they went back to Al-Aqsa. The people who are in Aqsa, they might call him, you are Muslim. By saying Muslim, they try to imply that you are not Israelis. But majority of those people are from the progeny of Banu Israel. The only thing is they accepted Islam. Because that was promised to them to bring you back to the land. For which reason the Jews of today say from the 12 tribes of Yaqub alayhi salam, 10 we can't find in the world. 10 we can't find means 10 has accepted Islam and is living in the land. The people they kill is the very Banu Israel who's supposed to be in that land. But what about the promise? Because as long as Muslims were living in Al-Aqsa, a Muslim was never going to do interest. He'll do it out of Aqsa, but not in Al-Aqsa. A Muslim will never kill in Aqsa. A Muslim will never do filth and dirt in Al-Aqsa. But at the beginning of time in the Torah, it was mentioned that, O progeny of Israel, in this land 2 times you will behave like the worst of people. One passed, and thereafter Islam came, the Banu Israel became Muslim. It was good land, good land, good land, good land, good land, never ever dirt and filth. That is why when the state of Israel was proclaimed in 1948, at that time those Jews who had not believed for that last 1400 years plus in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were going to form now that last promise, where it was told, you again will come in this land and you will do the worst of acts. They were that group. So suddenly the world heard there's a group of Jews in the world who got no land. And like animals they were brought to that land. But who brought them? Which Allah Tabarakallah in the Torah had said to them, Allah tattakhidhu min duni wakila. That the time will come that if you do not accept Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's religion to bring you to the land, then you will have to accept an Ashkenazi power to bring you to the land. A Jew that's no Jew, who doesn't believe in your Torah, who doesn't ever come to your church, your temple, whatever you call it, who has never been born in your progeny, who doesn't even know, doesn't even respect, who has nothing to do with your religion. Einstein is the name you learn of in school. Amazing, they would say Einstein is a Jew, but he's also an atheist. So someone asked the question, if you're an atheist, can you be a Jew? Because a Jew is understood a man of the book. At that time, very loud, they were able to say that a Jew is a thing of family. It got nothing to do with religion. But which family? Not even the family of Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam. They referred to their own Jewish family, which was called the children of Yafis. That is why people wrote books about them, the 13th tribe. There were only 12 sons of Yaqub alayhi salam. This was a 13th. They came from nowhere. But they behaved as though they would take over. But in the Torah, the crux of the Torah was said to that one group who were not ready to accept Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That if you don't accept him, then another group will also one day bring you to the masjid. But you will then do in the masjid that corruption which you did in the first era. So for 1300 years, that promise was never seen. The second masjid. And the second ulu, 1948, and they entered. In 1948, every promise started. The promise of ulu, the promise of fasad, the promise of killing, the promise of taking a small child and just sending the bullet through his head, the promise of being like Firaun, I will slaughter children how I want. So if you ever go to Al-Aqsa today, then you will read this verse, لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ. One time you had done it in the past, and 1,000, 2,000 years, perhaps 3,000, who knows how many years, the second is happening today. In one page of Quran, Allah Tabarakala mentioned the history of mankind. Marratain, there will be 2 times. When 1948 it was proclaimed, a Palestinian alim said, his sheikh fell in sajda. Someone said to him, how can you be making sajda at such a time? Where the Jews have taken over this land. He said, I do not make sajda in happiness, but I am amazed at the truthfulness of the qawl of Allah Tabaraka. I never thought it could ever happen, لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ, that the chance for fitna and fasad in Al-Aqsa was going to come number 2. Allah Tabaraka was going to say, إِنْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. O progeny of Ishaq, when the chance comes for you to come back to Al-Aqsa, either it will come with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's religion. If you do good, you will do good for yourself. وَإِنَّ سَأْتُمْ, and if you act stubborn and you don't accept him, somebody else will bring you back one day. وَإِنَّ سَأْتُمْ فَلَهَا, and if you want to be evil, then let it be. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ, because when the second will happen, when the time comes where your second fitna and fasad, when the time comes where you make ulu fil ard, when the time comes where you just slaughter children without any feeling, when the time comes where you believe in the land as though you are the boss, untouchable. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ, when the second promise will come, لِيَسُوءُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. Then we will bring our armies. That time Allah Tabarakullah mentioned a tyrant will come. Here a tyrant wasn't mentioned. Here it was going to be the religion of Islam that will just stand up from nowhere. A man called Al-Mahdi will stand. The entire Muslim Ummah will unite from different corners of the world. But لِيَسُوءُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. On that day you will be disgraced in the entire world. The whole world, Africa, Egypt, America, everyone will understand that the Jew was a liar. How we are seeing today, and you believe the Jew, on that day the truth will open. They will hate so much the Jew, as I mentioned the narration. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, where even the stone will say, behind me is a Yahudi, I cannot accept a Yahudi. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, illa al-gharqad. There is one tree which is the tree of the Jew. This will be the only tree that will give shelter to the Jew. Gharqad. When I was writing on Masjid al-Aqsa, a thought came to me that if I know the English of al-gharqad, then with Google you can find it anywhere in the world. There must be this tree somewhere. So in Google Translate you put gharqad, you get the English, whatever the English name is. And you just put that tree's name and you put Israel. I never thought what will come out, but I thought that I will see they planting it in Al-Aqsa or they will start planting it. But what an article came, a discussion that took place in the agricultural ministry of Israel many years ago. The command was given that the pine trees of Al-Aqsa must all be removed, pine. And the man explained that no matter how much of benefit there is in pine, he said, but this is not going to help the Jew. Thereafter he said, it is imperative that by the year 2030, what a date he chose, wonder who gave him in his dream. He said, imperative in the year 2030, there must be more than 10 million of these trees in the land. And his sentence was so unique, he said, because this is the tree of the Jew. As the hadith had mentioned, this is the tree of the Jew, he said, this is the tree of the Jew. And then he said, and when the war will break out, it will only be this tree that will give protection to the Jew because of its magical powers. So what an article. It just happened at that time I went for Umrah, or just before that time, but that one thought in my mind, if you go for Umrah now, you'll see many funny things happening in that land. But one thing that you can't miss is the number 2030. Vision 2030 is loud in that land. You will see someone carrying a flag showing Vision 2030. You will be drinking Zamzam in the Haram, you will see Vision 2030. You in the airport, you will see Vision 2030. You will come out in Medina Munawara where you would see before don't smoke, you will see Vision 2030. So that Vision 2030, whatever it was, but was amazing for the man to say, that by 2030, we require more than 10 million of these trees, because when the war will break, it will be the only tree that will give protection to the Jew. So one friend of mine, whoever he was, he read the article, he sent me another article, that this very tree is being planted in the lands outside Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara. So he asked me, what do you think they're planting it there for? Because in those lands also, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the era of Dajjal come, hypocrites of Medina Munawwara on the Sheikh of Medina will start leaving one after the other. Meaning that land will have also, there are people there who are putting up the trees, that when the war breaks, you got one tree for your survival. لِيَسُوءُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ is a promise of Quran, that when you will see the second fitna in the land of Al-Aqsa, then you must know after that is divine victory. The only thing is how long it will take. So this is a guess. But Masjid Al-Aqsa, when it fell the first time, the beginning of its revolution started 70 years after its fall. And on the end of 100 it was completed. The Nabi stood up, he looked around, he was shocked, Aqsa is back. The second time it fell in history, no one thought it will stand before 100 years. Salahuddin al-Ayyubi rahimullah ends most likely in 92. 92 years after its fall, Masjid al-Aqsa is back. Third time it fell, 1948, state of Israel is announced. Masjid al-Aqsa at that time just collapsed. Now we are sitting at perhaps the brink of 60. Within 70, normally you expect revolution to start happening in the world. Before 100, Masjid al-Aqsa says, I lived up to my name. Whether it will be like that or it's not, who knows? But there is one group in the world who looks at Vision 2030 like a very big thing. لِيَسُوءُ وُجُوهَكُمْ Allah Tabarakullah says, on that day, your face will be disgraced in the world. وَلِيَدْخُلُ الْمَسْجِدَ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةً And a group will enter the masjid like how they entered the first time. Ulama of Tafsir who have written on this, in this light, wrote that how they entered in the first time was an indication that the group who will enter the second time had taken over it the first time. The first time was in the era of Umar radiallahu anhu. How they entered? No force could stand up against them. Masjid al-Aqsa, they will enter. وَلِيُتَبِّرُوا مَا عَلَوْ تَتْبِيرًا And whatever fault and evil this group has done, عَلَوْ Whatever superiority they had created for themselves in the world, this army of Allah will now bring all that to the ground. At that time the war will start. أَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَن يَرْحَمَكُمْ Nabi Isa alayhi salam will come down. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said his hands will be on two angels. He will be bearing beautiful clothing. He even explained which masjid he will come in Damascus. He even explained by the minara of that masjid. He even explained the color of that masjid. One person wrote, what a unique imara that is. That land has also seen bombs. But that minara remains standing. That minara remains standing. Said, by that minara when you will see him come. At that time Allah Tabarakullah said, Asa Rabbukum Ay Yarhamakum. It is perhaps your Allah will give you one more chance. Perhaps that one more chance will be when Nabi Isa alayhi salam is coming down. There will be thousands and thousands who will see him. At that time if a Jew or a Christian is ready to say, I was wrong, then you will live and die on Islam. But at that time, if you are ready to turn and run with Dajjal, then Allah Tabarakullah says, وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا At that time also, if you want to be stubborn, then we will also bring our punishment. وَجَعَلْنَا جَهَنَّمَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ حَصِيرًا And then Jahannam will be written as a carpet for the kuffar. This is a history of a unique land. We are on the brink of open fitna and fasad. We are on the brink of 60. We are coming to 70. Revolution normally in Aqsa started with 70. Who knows what will happen in the next 10 years? And the completion of revolution in Al-Aqsa normally hit on 100. Who knows what will happen? Aqsa lives like that. Who will come? Who will stand? What's going to happen? But something is going to happen. لِيَسُوءُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَلِيَدْخُلُوا الْمَسْجِدِ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَلِيُتَبِّرُوا مَا عَلَوْ تَتْبِيرًا The promises of Allah are unique. The Quran is unique. The indications of Quran are unique. But Quran's indication was meant that man opens his eye. And all of us say that I can't just carry on living as though just this is life. Things are happening in the world. Hijaz-e-Muqaddas at the present moment in history is seeing things that the world never ever believed could ever have happened. The Haram is a land which is called Al-Haram. It will never allow dirt to come in the Haram. It is not the first time they tried to bring movies into the Haram. Filthy movies. There was a time when a king of Arabia intended, when movies started in the world, it was the desire at that time, that if you could get the filth of Hollywood to come onto the stations. It's a unique history, but at that time there was also something that happened. And it just collapsed. The television remained, but every movie that was going to come into Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara was going to be censored. I don't know if ever you went, may Allah save us all, but if you went in the hotel and you said, hey, I want to watch movies, then you would have seen on that television, I never saw, I read. On that television you would not see any filthy movie. The Haram would never accept it. And because of the Haram at that time, they also put up cinemas around the Haram. The Haram never accepted it, that cinemas closed after that. It just fell, so it never worked. This is that second effort, an attempt of this. At that time they had little bit shu'ur. When they saw it falling, they said, just leave it. But this time they got no shu'ur at all. No shu'ur means, when that goat understands I'm going to be slaughtered, he just kicks like wild. At that moment he's not bothered who will say what. Just go out for it, make it happen. That's what's happening at the moment. In the land of the haram, unique things are happening. But it's a message for me and you that the world is changing. And we don't know what we are going to see in the next 50 years, but be ready to see something happening. In that being ready, be ready for akhirat. We are a nation created for Jannah. We have not been created for this masjid which is called Al-Jannah. We got another world. Our house is not just our house. It's not just our investment. It's not just I must become the doctor and lawyer. There was an issue called be prepared. But how prepared we have to be, perhaps people of the past never had to be. When you make dua that may Allah bless us. That if we can get the chance to also lift up the flag of Islam. To be part of that army is a big thing. But if we find that error, who won't want to be part? But it needs a request, it needs a dua. It needs, oh Allah, will your eye of divine selection sit on me also? That I can also join the Jamaat. May Allah Tabarakallah make us all of that Mubarak Jamaat. May Allah Tabarakallah let us appreciate Quran, understand Quran, see indication of Quran. May Allah Tabarakallah let His realities open up in front of us, which become the coolness of our eyes. Save us and the people of the land of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Nabi Isa alayhi salam, when He will come, after He will win, He will put His hand, comes in the hadith, on the heads of the people of that land. And He will say to them, on your sabr, Allah is written for your Jannah. What a sentence. Why He will say that? Because the people of that land had to make such sabr that even a Nabi, when he was going to look at them, he was going to say that you got your Jannah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he will rub the heads and he will say Jannah for you. So what sabr? But in that Allah Tabarakallah opens up doors. May Allah Tabarakallah make those doors open up fast and make it the coolness of us.